Hello and welcome to this week's edition of In Accord. It's great to be here with all of you. I recently returned from a two-week trip to Kenya and Uganda with Mr. Tim Waddle and his wife Val. But before I get to that, I would like to update you on a couple of things. We call them updates, but usually we're repeating what we talked about last week, and one of them has to do with Foundation Institute. As has been mentioned already, those of you who are thinking about attending FI for the 2025-26 academic year, you'll want to be sure to get your applications completed soon. We already have 8 individuals that have applied for this year, which is a good number for this early in the process, but we'd like to encourage you to apply. And those of you who are thinking about attending the summer continuing education classes that FI will be hosting in July, you want to do so. I believe it's this coming Sunday, February the 9th, on the member page. You'll have the opportunity to register for those classes. Now regarding the Feast of Tabernacles. Many of you were involved in the early registration for both Ireland as well as Cortona, Italy. It looks like we have some breathing room in both of those spaces. So this coming Sunday and Monday, February 9th and 10th, those of you who would still like to go to Cortona, and if you would like to get on the waiting list for Ireland, please be sure to register on the feast registration page this coming Sunday and Monday. I'd like to also personally mention a couple of other sites internationally. I could mention many, but these are sites that are smaller, and they really appreciate the visits that members give them when they come. One of them is in South Africa. We've been there in Gonubi, South Africa. Tanya and I were there a couple of years ago. It's on the south-southeast side of South Africa, near East London. And the members in South Africa really appreciate visitors from the U.S. and elsewhere, so you may want to consider that. Also in Fiji. Fiji is a beautiful island in the South Pacific. We have a congregation of about 25 brethren there. They really, really appreciate, again, visits from outside their country. They'll be there for the feast. You may want to consider that. And then last year, Tanya and I were both in Sri Lanka and India. And both of those sites, again, small groups of God's people in Sri Lanka, about 20, 25, same number up in India. Again, they so deeply appreciate the visits from outside their country. And in all of these places, it's a great country to visit because of what you can see and learn about their culture and their countries. Well, now to talk about the trip I just returned from East Africa. I accompanied Mr. Waddle to Kenya and to Uganda. Now, Mr. Tim Waddle has been serving that area and his wife, Val, for 19 years. And they've been ably assisted by Nathan Willoughby the last several years as well. So they're experienced in traveling in this part of the world. This trip, I always try to think of it in terms of goals. I had 3 goals, and I know these were shared to a great degree by Mr. Waddle himself. And one was to visit with the brethren, get a chance to visit with them and the leadership in those areas, to also conduct the International Leadership Program classes. We had 2 classes this year that we had for all of the areas throughout the world where we had couples that are involved in the ILP. And then thirdly, for me to be able to spend time with the Waddles. Enjoy spending time with them. He serves as a senior pastor in Southern Africa as well as in East Africa. And I wanted to spend time with he and his wife. You know, this trip was, they're all kind of long, these trips, but happy to make them and really wonderful to be able to visit the brethren in those areas. In my case, they actually flew from South Africa where they're now located, but I flew from the U.S. to Nairobi, Kenya. And then we traveled from Nairobi to Kisumu, which is in the western part of Kenya, where we visited a couple of congregations. And then the next week, we actually went back to Nairobi and then traveled to Entebbe, which is in Uganda, and then took an 8-hour road trip up to Kitgum, where we visited with our brethren there in northern Uganda. The trip started by me coming into Nairobi, and then on Friday, January the 17th, the 3 of us flew to Kisumu, which is in the western part of Kenya. On the Sabbath of January the 18th, we had the opportunity of visiting 2 of the larger congregations in Kenya. One of them is in Ochuna. Ochuna is overseen by the deacon, Charles Magi. Charles has been a part of the church for a number of years, and the church congregation, the building, actually is on his family's property. His family has been there for generations, and they donated a piece of land that the church was able to construct a church hall for them. When we arrived, we were greeted by children and families, which is typically the case. We had a very full house for services on that Sabbath, over 100 in attendance. After services, I was invited, or all three of us were invited to Charles' home. That's only about 100 yards away from where we met for services. And there we had a spread of fruit for lunch. We were able to visit for about 20 or 30 minutes before we had to get on the road to the next congregation. So we then continued on midday, I think it was probably early afternoon by this time, to Ghat Kacholla. Ghat Kacholla is a small town on the shores of Lake Victoria. And Isaac Inda is the name of the gentleman who serves as the deacon there. Ghat Kacholla is a unique place because it actually is home to a very small fishing industry in that part of the lake. The church hall itself is across from the deacon's house, and a very nice hall that the members meet in there as well. We had about 100 in attendance in Ghat Kacholla as well. And as was the case in services in the morning, I spoke and gave the sermon, and it was simultaneously translated into their local language. Something unique about this particular location was we had a blessing of a small child. Now, often when a new child is born in some of these areas, the next time the senior pastor, in this case Mr. Waddle, comes, they would like to have the child prayed over and blessed. Well, in this case, Mr. Waddle told me a few days prior that there's going to be a child that we're going to bless in Ghat Kacholla. But what I didn't know, and he informed me, is that this little child's name, and by the way, only 2 weeks old, the little child was named Douglas Horchak. That was a shock to me. And, of course, we blessed the little child. And it is tradition in some of these areas where parents will name a child after one of the church leaders or pastors. And, of course, I was honored to have a little child by my name there. I will mention, though, that I also met little Jimmy Franks, who was about 5 years old, who was named after Mr. Franks a few years ago in a different family. But all in all, it was a wonderful day, a very long Sabbath day, but a wonderful day as well. Then the next day, on Sunday, we held classes for the International Leadership Program couples. We have four couples in Kenya. We had classes and covered the two topics for this past year, pride versus humility, and the other class on the tools for Christian growth. Now, after those 2 one-hour classes were presented, Mr. Waddle had a meeting with the deacons and the leadership to talk about plans for the upcoming Feast of Tabernacles, as well as planning for camp this next year. Anyway, the next week, later in the week, rather, we traveled to Uganda. And that was the first time I've had the opportunity of traveling to this Central African nation. We actually were there to visit one of our newer congregations in that part of Africa in Kitgum, which is in the very north part of Uganda. And this group has a very interesting history of coming to the knowledge of the truth. How they learned about the Sabbath and the holy days is unique, and I'll comment on that in just a few moments. But we flew from Nairobi to Entebbe. Some of you will recall the name Entebbe. It is where the airport is that serves the larger city of Kampala. We flew there, spent the night at a hotel, and then the next day had an 8-hour-long drive up to Kitgum. It was a safe drive and a good drive, but it took most of the day. Now, Kitgum is in the very northern part of Uganda, and it's only about an hour's drive south of South Sudan. Now, you may remember Mr. Meeker last week talked about his travels and the dangerous area in which some of the members have been called. Well, the interesting thing is Uganda, it is at a level 3 travel a threat or travel warning by the Department of State. But, you know, it's pretty safe to travel there. But South Sudan, just a few miles north of where we were, is level 4, and I think most of us know, sadly, because of the wars and the violence that have been taking place there. In any event, we went to Kitgum. The next day, on Thursday, January the 23rd, we had an opportunity to visit with two of the larger families in the congregation. They were very, very kind and hospitable. They served us some fruit and tea, and as often the case with members in that part of the world, they want to be a good host when you're there to visit with them. The children are very, very respectful. Matter of fact, it took me by surprise to have this one little girl that came into the home that we were in, and she was the child of one of the members, and she kind of bowed down and curtsied in front of us and stuck her hand out to shake our hand. It was really very cute. It was very humbling, but it just goes to show you how some of these families have really trained their children to respect for visitors that come to see them. The next family was an even larger extended family. Now, these families are all kind of connected. And as you can tell, it was a very large family group. Some extended family who were there, some children. And most of the members there in that congregation speak English to some degree. A few don't. But in this group we visited on that Thursday, most of them spoke at least some English, and we were able to enjoy some fellowship. Then the group picture that we took with that second large extended family group was really in front of a traditional rural home in Uganda. Probably looks familiar to all of you, but these are traditional houses that many in the rural areas build. On Friday, January the 24th, we actually held leadership classes for some of the adult members of the congregation. And then on Sabbath was a very busy day. And the Sabbath was busy, but again, another good day. We started by getting up and leaving our lodge that we were in at 8 a.m. to go to a local radio station. Now, you may be wondering, why are you going to a radio station? Well, for a number of years, this congregation was given 30 minutes of airtime every Sabbath morning to preach or speak about what they would like to the general public. And they've been doing that. It's actually 103.5 FM in Kitgum, Uganda. You won't be able to get it on your radio, but that's what it was. And so it was planned for Mr. Waddle to be able to speak on that Sabbath. And so we went into the studio, and there we were at a table with four microphones. Of course, Mr. Waddle. They had myself there as well, and two of the other members, Daniel and John. Daniel was there to actually translate Mr. Waddle from English into Luganda, which is their local language. And then John, the other member, was there to read any scriptures in their local language that may be addressed. It actually was quite a quite an experience, and a good one. Mr. Waddle gave a presentation on the three resurrections and did a great job, in fact. And then they had a bit of a Q&A live on the radio station afterwards. After that, at 10 a.m., we had services at a local hall that they rented for our visit. That was only about 15 minutes away. I was asked, as I was asked the previous Sabbath by Mr. Waddle, to give a sermon on the subject of marriage and the marriage covenant, which I did. And as was the case in Kenya, these were translated simultaneously. But the reason he had me talk about the marriage covenant in part was because polygamy is practiced in many of these countries, traditionally in the rural areas. Oftentimes that's a part of a family's background. And that was true in this congregation as well. Now, these members were fully aware of our teaching on it and accepting of that, but he thought it would be important to talk about the subject, which I did. Our services were followed by a very nice traditional meal that all of us shared together. And then after the meal, Mr. Waddle held a Bible study. And then after the Bible study, he had myself up front where we had a question and answer session. People could ask questions about either what we talked about or what I talked about in the sermon or in his Bible study. And needless to say, they kept us busy, but it was really good. That, again, was another long Sabbath day, but a very good day and one that I'll long remember. You know, this group in Uganda I mentioned earlier has a very unique history. About 45 years ago, long before they were a part of Kagwa or any church organization, one of their local people started getting literature from Pasadena, California, from Mr. Armstrong. And this individual could read English, and he would read and then get his Bible out and preach to some people in the general community. He began reading booklets and received a number of them over from the late 70s on. And again, he would teach this growing group of people, and he became known in that community as the Bible Man. He was called that in their local language. But many of the members that are a part of Kagwa today have their roots in the preaching of this individual, and they're coming to understand about the Sabbath day and the holy days. And the first time after all of this history that they actually had a visit from a minister in the Church of God was a little over 3 years ago when Mr. Waddle came to visit them and spend a couple of days there discussing our teachings and beliefs. Needless to say that their belief system and what they've proven was very consistent with most of what we understand. And of course, that was followed up by Mr. Willoughby being able to be with him as well. And so the members are very very excited about the fact that despite the fact that they were not connected to a church for all these years, now they are, and they're very happy about that. Before I finish, I want to share with you some comments that both Mr. Waddle made. I asked him about the congregation in congregations in that part of Africa, but also hearing from a local member. Mr. Waddle, I asked him to share his overall comments about the congregations in Kenya and Uganda.
Mr. Waddle, I wonder if you wouldn't mind commenting on our congregations in Kenya that you and your wife have served for so many years.
Sure, I'll be happy to. Currently, we have about 250 total members in Kenya. So they're all on the west, mainly on the west. There's some in the central area, about 50. We have a congregation in Sotik, but most of them are out west in some small rural communities. So Migori, it's a little bit larger city, but then the small villages of Gakachola and Ochuna. So we've been going to Kenya since 2006. Of course, these congregations have developed since Kagwa started, for the most part. But they're doing really well. We have two church buildings, one in Ochuna, one in Gakachola. And it was quite a blessing to be able to go, not today on the Sabbath, but last Sabbath, where we were able to visit both Ochuna in the morning. And then we went to Gakachola, which is right on Lake Victoria, in the afternoon. And the brethren seemed to be doing quite well at this time. Ochuna was greener than normally. Gakachola is almost always brown. They had some rain,
right.
So it's not as dry as it is sometimes. But overall, the members are doing quite well. And it was a blessing to see them again, of course.
Sure.
And it was a blessing to have you there, Mr. Horchak, and to have you speak to the members. And we covered an important topic, the topic of marriage. So in both places, the same sermon by Mr. Horchak was given, and the members expressed that they really appreciated hearing that. So thank you.
Well, it was a pleasure to be with both of you, and really a great opportunity. Maybe you could tell me just a little bit about the youth camp you had for the first time in a few years this year in Kenya.
Yeah, we did have camp in our budget for a number of years, going back since 2019. And so we hadn't had camp since before COVID. So we just kept rolling it over, waiting until that we were able to do it. So in August, Mr. Willoughby came. We had several volunteers from the United States as well come. And, of course, Valerie and myself were there. And we had teens and preteens combined.
Wow.
And so I think we had 180 total between preteens, teens, and staff.
Yes.
So we realized it's getting a little big for our britches. So going forward, we're going to try to separate teens and preteens.
Sure.
But the camp was really nice, very successful, and we're eager to do it again.
Sure. I wonder if I could also ask you to comment on our newest group of brethren in this part of the world, and that's the brethren that are now a part of Kagwa from Uganda.
Yes, yeah, so it's a pretty incredible story about the congregation in Uganda. So they're about where they're located. It's called Kitgum, Uganda, and it's about 50 miles south of South Sudan. So here we are sitting here. It's almost 6 p.m., and we're still sweating. So it's a hot part of Africa. But the members themselves are, it's a lovely group of people. And they go back as far as striving to obey God with what they knew to the 70s. I think I was told today that 77 was the first time that they started getting literature from Worldwide Church of God. They never had a minister visit until I was able to come a few years ago. So we've been talking probably for a total of 4 years. My first visit was 3 years ago. And then 2 years ago, we had some baptisms. Mr. Willoughby came not too long ago last year, and there were a few more baptisms. So the congregation is definitely stable and growing, and it's quite impressive, the history that they have
yeah.
with Worldwide Church of God and the fact that God is working with them in this remote area of Uganda.
So tell me a little bit before we wrap this up about how difficult it is, or at least how long it is for you to get from where you live in South Africa and winding through a couple of countries to get up here to Kitgum, Uganda.
Sure. Yeah, it's not an easy trip. Even with the air flight and various things that we have, you know, it is a blessing for us to be in Johannesburg, where it used to take us almost 24 hours to get to Nairobi. Now we can do it in 5.
Yes. Yeah,
so that's nice. But even trying to get here, we'd have to fly to Nairobi. So we visited the brethren in Kenya, so we had to fly to Kisumu on the west side, take a few-hour drive, and then even getting there to where they are on the Sabbath, we had to drive around, went back to Kisumu. If you're lucky, you can get a direct flight from there to Entebbe, but typically we got to go back to Nairobi, then to Entebbe, and then to get to Kigali, it's about an 8-hour drive. So it's not a bad drive as far as drives go in Africa.
Right.
We are on tarmac, which is a blessing.
Yep.
But we go through a lot of small villages, over a lot of speed bumps or sleeping policemen, as they describe them. but once we get here, again, the congregation's a very loving and kind congregation. They're very happy to have us here, which makes it well worth the travel.
Well, thank you very, very much for your comments, and thank you for what you and your wife, Val, and even Mr. Willoughby do to take care of the brethren here in East Africa.
And then I asked Mr. John Okumu, he is a member in Uganda, to give us some comments about the history of those brethren coming to a knowledge of the truth in the church.
John, it's great to be here in Uganda. It really is. First time I've been here. And I wanted to know if you would share briefly with the members the story of how you and the group that you're with here in Kitgum came to understand the truth of God.
Thank you. You're most welcome to Uganda. And it's a pleasure always to have you ministers come over here. The truth about the group which is in Uganda goes way back to 1978, from a businessman whose real name is Ochola Matthew. And because he used to read the Bible so much,
yes,
and he had more of a photocopy in the head. That's why he earned the name.
Which
the
name?
Bible Man.
Oh, the Bible
the
Man.
The Bible Man.
Okay.
So, and he landed on the Plain Truth magazine from Mr. Armstrong in the late 70s. So that is, and he started preaching that plain truth to the people around him. But he was a Catholic.
Yes.
And when he learned that Sunday is not the seventh day, but the first day of the week, that is how he changed.
Yes.
So the little he knew, that was what he knew.
Did that include the holy days?
And the holy days also came in.
Yes.
But after learning the Sabbath, the knowledge started growing from there, and keeping the faith also continued in that way. In the early 2000s, though, there was a split, a very big one, that was as a result of, I think, the split which happened in the
Pasadena?
90s. Yes. So it came down, and the church split over the doctrine of the Sabbath, because there was a teaching that the Sabbath was no longer important.
Now, that was from literature they were receiving from Pasadena.
Exactly.
Yes.
So the Sabbath was no longer important, and we said, no, this is not it. So the church split. And again, in 2021, we received another gospel, I can't say. They came, and it was promoting a secret name.
The sacred names.
The sacred names. And it was that if you don't call him Yahweh, you are not praying to that person, to God. He is not a God, and there must be a name. And we went online and got the plain truth about a sacred name from Mr. Armstrong. And we say this is the truth.
Yes.
Because we don't get only one name of God in the entire Bible. He has used very many names, but still they were already in the other way. So a big sect of the group which was left,
yes,
again went the other way. And the remnant was met in 2022 by Mr. Waddell, Timothy.
Yes.
And he went back and got again Mr. Willoughby,
yes,
Nathan, and they came and they presented what the church teaches. And we said, give us first the fundamental beliefs.
Yes.
And we go through and we decide whether we will go with you or not.
Yes.
And when we read through, we say, this is where we belong.
Sure.
And that is how the church the Congregational Church of God Worldwide Association was born in Uganda.
Let me ask this. Was Mr. Waddle the first minister in the church to actually come visit you all after all those years?
All these years, we have never received any visitor except in 2022 when Mr. Waddle came around.
Right.
We never, but we remained faithful to the little truth that we knew.
Yes.
And we kept that. We knew we were not knowing everything,
right,
but at least the one that we were was revealed to us, we kept it faithfully until Mr. Waddle came around.
Yes. Well, we're very happy that we're all a part of the church, and I appreciate your sharing this with the brethren.
Thank you.
As I end, I want to give some thanks. I want to thank the Waddles, Tim and Val Waddle, for their many, many years of service to God's people in East Africa, in Kenya, and now in Uganda. And also, of course, Mr. Willoughby for assisting and helping serve the brethren in that part, of the world. And for that matter, you know, I think about Mr. Meeker, I think about Tom Clark and Paul Carter, and so many others that have served and continue to serve God's people in some of these remote parts of the world. I want to thank them for their service because it's very apparent to me, having traveled with these men, how much they care for and love the brethren that they serve, and it's an important part of what we do in the work. Now I want to end by reading some words from the Apostle Paul. We often read from Paul simply because of the nature of his ministry in his life after he was called. But I want to read about our calling, and as I read some of these words from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'd like all of you to consider the brethren that I've just referred to, the ones we visited in Kenya, and of course the unique group that we have more recently in Uganda, as I read through these words. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 26, 27, and 28. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. Clearly, these members in East Africa have been called by God. And God does not view his people as foolish or weak. Paul used that comparison because that sometimes is the way that people would view those of us who do understand the truth. But we know these people know the truth of God. They know the plan of God. And they know that plan and powerful message of hope that the world one day will understand. Well, that's about it for this week's edition of In Accord. Hope all of you enjoyed this very short travelogue of our journey there. And of course, we wish all of you a wonderful Sabbath day and a very restful weekend.